All right. How many of you have been at a family reunion? Somebody like that prayed. Anybody raise your hand? How many of you, was that you praying? You know, we're doing a series on the Big Five, and today we're going to kind of look at prayer, and that's always a clip that comes to mind when I think about prayer, especially the whole idea that prayer is really the communication of the Holy Spirit in us with the Spirit of God. And that means this. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in your life, then you're incapable of communicating with God's Spirit. Does everybody understand that? And so it's a divine, heavenly language that the children of God speak to God. And it'll bring up a lot of interesting things. I've thought a lot, you know, I thought about the prayers at our supper table. With Mildred and me and the four children are there, and we always call on somebody to pray. And, you know, no matter who prays, Allie, my two-year-old, always thinks it's also her turn to pray. And so Allie won't pray unless everybody's eyes are closed. And so she'll say, "Close your eyes, Sam. You know, close your eyes, Molly. Close your eyes, Daddy." You know, and she kind of goes around, and she, because it's got to be a certain way. And then the things that are prayed for. I think about the things that have been prayed for around our table, that God would give us ice cream, you know, after the meal. And Mildred always gets on me and says that's not appropriate to pray for that. And some of you get that. That's okay. But prayer. To think about prayer and what it really means. And sometimes when I pray, I kind of feel like the guy we just watched on the video screen. That I'm praying and I'm wondering if the desires of my heart would match the desires of his heart. So that what I'm praying for will come to pass. I remember at 16 years old, I wrote this kind of article thing, and I typed it up just like a little booklet, and it was entitled, "O Wall, Hear My Prayer." I had been praying for months that my grandmother would be healed of cancer. And right around when I was 16, 17 years old, my grandmother passed away. And so I wrote this just kind of as a response to, you know, God, where are you? And do you really hear our prayers? And then if you do hear them and you don't answer them, is it because you don't care? Or is it because our lives aren't significant? You know, oh, and then I said, some days when I'm praying to you, Lord, I feel like I could better start my prayer. Oh, wall, hear my prayer, because you're sure not hearing it, God. You ever feel that way? You ever pray for something and it just doesn't come to pass the way that you prayed for it? And so how do we handle that as believers? How do we deal with this whole idea of ask and it will be given to you? How do we do that? How do we go about that? How do we really understand what prayer is? Anne Lamott says she mainly prays two prayers. The first one is, "Help me, help me, help me." Anybody got that one down? I got that one down. And the second one she prays is, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." How many of you pray that one? And we pray that one. And so I was just reading what a lot of people had to say about prayer. And so today I want to attempt to deal with just a few things. And you know, I probably won't get into the deep theology of, you know, how come every prayer is not answered? Because I believe that every prayer is answered. Just a lot of times what we do as a people of God is we won't accept no as an answer. So we just say that prayer hasn't been answered yet. When indeed it's already been answered, God already said no. So let's think about prayer just for a second. I heard a great story that in the mid-1920s, there had been a drought that had gone on for months and months. And so the pastor in the Sunday morning service said, "We're going to have a prayer meeting this afternoon that God would open up the floodgates of heaven and rain would come upon the fields and the crops and our animals and the wells." And he said, "So I want everybody to come at 2:00 and we're going to pray that God would bring rain." And the story as I heard it goes that at 2:00 it was packed. People that didn't believe in God, people from all over the town, not just, they had all packed in for this prayer meeting. And they say about 2:05, the pastor gets up. He said, "Okay, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm just going to dismiss and I want everybody to go home. And we're going to try this again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And somebody stood up and said, Pastor, well, what's the problem? I mean, we're all here to pray for rain. He said, nobody brought an umbrella. So we'll come back tomorrow and pray when you really believe that God will do it. So I'm reading these stories about prayer, and I come across a couple of things. I want to share this with you. I think one of the big problems in the church today is I believe that if we pray for God to fill our cup, I want to tell you, and even in light of things that I've just said, I want to tell you that I believe if we pray to God to fill our cup, that He'll do it. I really believe that. How many of you believe that? I mean, how many of you prayed for God to fill a cup of some sort and God did that? Well, see, I think the problem is we're praying for God to fill cups, but I believe if we pray for God to fill buckets, that He'll fill them. And so one of our problems as a people of God is we're praying for God to fill the cup and He does it, but I believe He wants to fill the bucket. And we're not praying for God to fill the bucket. And maybe it's because we wonder if that part of our life is that significant, or if God really cares, or if God can really hear. So I want you to remember throughout the message, I want you to be thinking about the cup, and I want you to be thinking about the bucket. And I just want to share a few things with you. Noah Webster said that prayer is a solemn address to the supreme being. I didn't do tons of research on this. Noah Webster was a devout Christian, and that's where we get Webster's Dictionary. How many of you are familiar with Webster's Dictionary? Okay, great. And he said there's a solemn address to the supreme being. Well, one thing I thought was interesting is Noah Webster didn't say to a supreme being. That wasn't the definition. A solemn request to a supreme being. Here's the first place we have to begin with prayer. And I have to ask, who are you praying to? Who are you praying to? You see, I believe the reason we pray to God is because God is the only one who can divinely intervene and change the situation or make good come from the situation. Or maybe I've struggled with a certain thing all my life and I pray to God because I believe He's the only one who could come in and intervene and change my life. And you know how I know that? Because I tried a lot of other things. How many of you tried a lot of other things? And they failed, and they failed, and they failed. Some of you tried that person, right? How many of you tried that person, and that didn't work, right? And so we go to God. And so when I pray to God, the very act of praying to God means that I believe that God is powerful enough to step in and to do something. It's powerful. I want to just kind of go from there and say, there's three reasons that we pray. The first is we pray because God tells us to. I mean, isn't that incredible? It's not like we're like stepping on God's toes and saying, oh God, by the way, and God's going, whoa, time out. I got a lot going on up here. I am very, very busy. No, God says to us to pray, to seek His face, to bring our petitions before Him. He says, pray without ceasing. Now, that was wonderful. Man, that was great. Almost harmonious. It was good. And so God Himself calls on us to pray to Him. And so we pray to God because He tells us to. Now, to me, that is just as encouraging as that I pray to God because I know that He can do something. But I pray to God because He tells me to. And that will lead me right into the second thing. The second reason I pray is because God is able. God is able. He can do it. He can fill the cup. He can fill the bucket. He hears the prayers of His children. He cares. He is concerned. There's not one detail of your life that God doesn't care about. Does everybody hear that? Because I think the enemy really plays tricks on us by saying, listen, that's not important to God. So, I mean, there's so much going on. God doesn't have time for that. But we pray because God is able. He can move. He does move. I really want you to hear this. The disciples are in the boat. How many of you remember the story? And there's a storm. And Jesus is what? He's asleep, right? And so the disciples kind of have a couple of options. One, they can pray for God to fill the cup. You know what that would be? Lord, comfort us. And they want the comfort of God. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That is a good thing. But Jesus didn't just want to fill the cup. Jesus wanted to fill the bucket. And the bucket would say, Lord, stop the storm. And he does it. Isn't it incredible? He does that. He could have comforted him. Right? He could have put like force field around him. Right? Anybody know about Jesus and force field? No? Okay. Well, I've got like 1,000 pictures of Jesus at my house that my kids have drawn. And there's one where Jesus is using the force to destroy Satan, you know, and there's one where Jesus is using x-ray vision to destroy. There's a lot of destroy Satan pictures at our house that our kids have, and there's Jesus was force filled and Satan is trying to destroy him, but he can't. You know, Jesus could have done so many things, but he stops the storm. I'm trying to think what would be a more remarkable thing for him to do. What would have been a more incredible thing for Jesus? He stops the storm. Because there have been times in my life when I've prayed for the comfort of God, and what God indeed did was to stop the storm. And that's the difference between filling a cup and filling a bucket. And so I pray to God because He is able. He can do more than you could ever possibly imagine or ask. How many of you really believe that? Because I think in the church, we talk a huge game and we say a lot of religious things. But when it comes down to it, do you really believe that He can stop the storm? Do you really believe that He can change life? One of the exciting things about being at Hillview are just the stories that people have to tell. And you know what? They're stories that go beyond just the comfort of God, but to the transformation of God and what God can do in and through a person. I mean, it's phenomenal. And so I was talking to one guy and we were having a conversation. And he said that his family was coming. And they said, so where do you sit? He said, I sit with all the old drunks at Hillview. I mean, think about that. Think about it. Isn't that a phenomenal thing? And so you kind of imagine this section of people who one by one, each of their lives have been radically changed, that they're not what they used to be. Why? Because God is able to change those things. How many of you really believe that? I mean, because listen, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's why people are done with church. Because it's filled with people who are living the same way that they used to, and there's no transformation. Nobody's different. Everybody's just like everybody else. You know, and that's one of the fun things about coming to this church. Because I never know what somebody's story is going to be, but it's almost always a story of transformation. Of what God did in a seemingly impossible situation to step in and to intervene and to move as only He can. Isn't that incredible? And so I've got an uncle and he's been an alcoholic and a drug addict for years and years and years and years. And mom calls and she says, we need to pray. Your uncle's had a heart attack. And so I just start praying, oh God, heal him. God, make it all okay. Just wipe your hand over him and he'll get up and he'll walk out. And that prayer was the cup prayer. Because when mom called me back, she didn't say he was released from the hospital, that everything was okay, that things were all back to normal, that there was no sign of a heart attack, some mysterious thing, that God just healed it. Because that was a cup. Mom called back and she said, he is saved. And that is the bucket. And that's the bucket. And that's better than the healing. That's better than him getting up and leaving the hospital. Because now, whenever he leaves the planet, whether sooner or later, he'll be in an eternal kingdom. And that's a bucket. And that's what this is about. And so we come together and I pray. And I pray to God because he can do something. And he can step in where I can't. He can make things happen that I can't. And so if we're going to be the children of God, then we've got to pray with God-like prayers for God-like results, for God to step in and to move and to do something. So I pray because God tells me to. And I pray because He is able. And the third thing, I pray because it reminds me of how much God loves me. And we pray because it reminds us of how much God loves us. In his prayer for the Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, he says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power." Did everybody hear that? May have power. And so me and my kids were reading this story, and one of them will say, "Dad, what kind of power? Can to fly?" No. So what kind of power would Paul pray for us to have? What kind? You know, my son Will says, "Dad, is it invisibility?" Because that'd be a cool power, right? Granted, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a cool power? But here's what Paul says. "May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, that you are loved." That you are loved. And not just loved like an earthly kind of love. If any of you listen to country music, it's not that kind of love. But it's a love that is hard to grasp, and it's hard to fathom, and it's hard to understand. And let me just say this. Everybody look up here. It's hard to receive. And if you don't believe me, then why is this the power that Paul prayed for? Why is this the power that he prayed for these group of believers at this church in Ephesus? He goes, if there's one power, if there's one thing, here's what I pray for. That you would understand what? What does he say? How wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. I want you to know this. You are loved. And the very act of praying to God reminds me that I am loved. And so I pray to this God who loves me so radically. And I pray to Him because He cares. And there's not a situation going on in my marriage, with my children, at church, or in my neighborhood. There's no situation that I could bring to Him and He would say, "Please, I am busier than that." No, with every petition and every request, regardless, everybody listen to this. I really want us to try to grasp this, as Paul says. Regardless of his answer, we are reminded that he loves us. That he loves us. And so some days I get real discouraged as a parent. Some days I get real discouraged and I think, you know, what sin did my children commit that God gave them me as their daddy? You know, some days you feel that way, don't you? And my son, we're driving down the road, and he says, "Dad, I want to ask you about a word." And he says this word, and we kind of have this, you know, this open door policy. If he hears things, he's allowed to ask about them. And he says, "Dad, what about this?" I said, "Well, that's a bad word, son. And you shouldn't say it." And he said, "Well, what does it mean?" I said, "Well, you know, you can ask your mom about that later, but..." But, you know, you don't say that word. And I said, "And, you know, curiously, son, you know, where did you hear that?" And I'm trying to think of what show we're going to ban, you know. He said, "Oh, I didn't hear it anywhere. I said, "Well, son, you had to hear it because you're asking about it." He said, "Well, you said it, Dad." I said it. And there are some days you get discouraged, you know. And some days I'm saying, "God, if you don't step in, there is no hope for these children." You know? "God, if you don't intervene." And you know what? And every time I've asked Him to step in and to intervene, He reminds me that I'm loved. And there are days when you don't feel very lovable. And there's days when you don't feel very worthy
And in those days, we tend to spend those days alone and to say, God, are you there? And we're reminded that He loves us. And Paul said, I want you to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God. Because if you'll grasp that, then you will pray with boldness and you'll pray with courage and you'll quit praying for God to fill the cup and you'll start praying for God to fill the bucket. Because you know that you are loved. You know, as we were talking about doing this, and Pastor Steve and I were talking about, you know, that he'd be on vacation today, and I talked about, you know, I think I'll do prayer on this day. And it's not because of any kind of expertise, or it's not because of any unknown knowledge to you all that I have. But I just thought about prayer. And I was just kind of overwhelmed with this whole idea, much less about answered prayer and how prayer gets answered, but more about how I'm reminded that it's the most phenomenal thing to have a relationship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that when I pray, He is willing to hear those prayers. And you know what the devil says? The devil says God doesn't have time for you. And the devil kind of replays the video of your life. Anybody got a video of your life that you're ashamed of? I love it. The hands went down real quick. You're like, a video of my life I'm ashamed of. Because you know what's funny? Because if I ask God to play the video of my life, and I'm sitting there by God, right? And we come to that one place, you know the place? Like, God, I'm going to go to the bathroom, you know? I'm going to excuse myself just because you know that moment. It's coming. It's the next scene. And I'm looking for the divine remotes because I want to skip this part and I can't find it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And it gets to that part and there's like an edit. And it's not there. It's not there. And I'm going, oh my goodness. Who answered that prayer? Because I was praying to God, you know, to skip that part. And it's not there. You know why? Because we're forgiven. Wait. We're forgiven. And it's not there anymore. And Satan's trying to remind me of the piece of film that doesn't exist because I've been forgiven. Isn't that phenomenal that He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more? And I'm feeling bad one day and say, oh God, you remember that one time? And He says, uh-uh. Because that's His word, that's His promise, and we're forgiven, and He hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. How incredible is that, that this God hears our prayers? When C.S. Lewis was asked why he prayed, he said, you know, when I pray, it doesn't change God, it changes me. Isn't that incredible? And so the whole time I'm praying, I'm thinking that I want my prayer to change the mind of God. And yet every time I pray faithfully, it changes my mind. And it changes my heart. And it's a powerful thing. And so if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, you know what? We have to pray. Because He tells us to. And we have to pray. Because whatever you're praying about, He's the only one that can do anything about it. And we have to pray because it reminds us how dearly loved we are. That He loves you. How many of you have a situation that... Whoop, there's a cup. How many of you have a situation and you wonder, did God miss this? Did He turn His head for a minute and this thing happened to us? And God missed it, and He didn't see it, or He would have come in. How many of you have ever felt that way? And so I begin to pray, and all of a sudden as I pray, God begins to change me. And He reminds me that I love you, and no detail of your life has gone unnoticed to me. No, listen, no detail of your life has gone untouched by me. I love you, and I know what the end result is. You don't. And so many times I pray, and I know not what I ask for. So my grandmother passes away And I struggle with that. Because, you know, as this teenager, I just was praying that she would live and that God would heal her. And then I learned a couple of things in the next 17, 18 years. One, I learned that we had three people in our family come to Christ because going through that crisis, there was no other place to turn except to God. I learned that God did heal my grandmother. You know, He could have given her another 15 years to walk the earth, and I'm sure He had He laid the options out to her. Vivian, you can have 15 more years here on the planet, or you can come and be with me in eternity. And I have no doubt that after one glimpse of eternity, there's no question what Vivian would have wanted. Still struggle with that sometimes. Just want to be honest with you. And guess what? It's okay to struggle with that. And it's okay to have questions. I promise you, you won't hurt God's feelings if you say, God, why'd you do that? It's woke like seven people up right there. Why'd you do that, God? And it doesn't hurt His feelings. He doesn't get mad. He doesn't pick up His divine things and go home. You know what He does? He reminds you that you are loved. He reminds you that He'll go through the struggle with you. And He reminds you. He reminds you. And aren't we in need of being reminded? I want to close by sharing a few things with you. And it might seem like a little bit of a turn, but I want to close really just talking about the bucket and praying as a people of God, praying for God to fill the bucket. I was reading something and it said that if you reduce the world's population to just 100 people and you had a representation of everybody, does everybody understand that? You had a representation of the world in 100 people. I read this, 50 of those 100 people would be malnourished. 80 of those 100 people would live in below standard housing. 70 of those 100 people would be unable to read. Unable to read. And then I just had to guesstimate this one. 60 to 70 of those 100 people, when they die, will spend eternity in hell. The North American Mission Board told us a few weeks ago that every week in America, 25,500 people die without Christ. And I wonder if we're really praying for God to fill the bucket. I wonder if we're really bringing our umbrellas of evangelism to those prayer meetings where we pray earnestly for people to come to know Jesus. I want to say something. I feel compelled to say it at the 8 o'clock service this morning, and that's this. I'd said earlier that if you're not a believer, you can't pray. And technically, I'll still stand on that. But truthfully, there's really only one prayer that an unbeliever can pray. It's the most powerful prayer that you would ever pray in your life. It's the prayer that, when answered, will change more things and impact more things than any other prayer you can pray. So I know there's a few people here, probably a lot of people here this morning, and you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've never invited Him to come into your life. Well, I want to encourage you. The one prayer that you can pray this morning is this: Dear Jesus, save me. Dear Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. And the Lord hears that prayer. And the Bible says that you will be saved when you repent of that sin. And that means to turn from that life you've been living. You remember the guy said he sat in a section with all the old drunks. Well, you know, that there was a time there to repent and to turn away. And that's what each of us have had the opportunity to do. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that is the prayer that you can pray this morning. And God will hear that prayer. And can I tell you some really great news? If you even felt like in this moment that you wanted to pray that prayer, I want to tell you some great news. The only reason you could feel like you needed to say that prayer is because God is working in your life. Because the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. And so if you're here this morning and you feel like you need to do that, I want to encourage you. God is reminding you that He loves you. And I would encourage you to say that prayer. We're going to have a time of altar here in a few moments. And there'll be pastors up here. And you could just come to this altar and come to one of these pastors and say, you know, I know that I need Jesus in my life, and we would love to pray with you. Probably if you've come here this morning, you've probably come with somebody. And you could just easily turn to them and say, you know what, I need to pray that. I need to do that. Maybe you brought somebody with you, and it may be a great question to ask this morning. You know, if you have never asked that, hey, is that something you need to do? And you'd be willing to come to this altar with them. And so God hears the prayers of His people. And God hears those prayers of those inviting Him to come into their lives. But I want to close, and the last thing I want to say is this. Have you really prayed for those that don't know Jesus? Have you really prayed for them, that the Lord would save them? In 2 Chronicles 7, it says this, the Lord appears to Solomon and He says, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, He says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I find it very interesting that there's something God asks us to do before He asks us to pray. He said, if you will humble yourselves, if you will humble yourselves. Pastor Mark, I don't know if you remember how powerful it was. When the North American Mission Board was here, there were three gentlemen that came. And I don't remember the gentleman's name that sat in the middle that shared all the statistics. But every time he talked about these 25,500 lost people who die, he started crying in our meeting every time. Every time he couldn't talk about it without getting choked up. And I think in what we're talking about this morning, humbling ourselves means this, folks, that we care. That we have been loved and such a debt has been paid for us that we return that love with a faithful sharing of the gospel with those who've never heard. And He says, if we would humble ourselves, because I really believe this, that if God's people really, really came together, there'd be no hungry people in the world. If we really came together, that disease, all these things that are going on, those things could be combated. But even beyond that, if we really came together, I wonder how many of these 25,500 people who die every week without a relationship with Jesus, what that number would be reduced to. If we came together. Because I don't know if you've noticed watching the news, but it's not a healthy place out in the world. And there's a lot that's going on. And God is calling a people to humble themselves and to pray and to seek His face and to turn from our wicked ways. I really believe that we've yet to see what God really wants to do. And I wonder if we would heed the voice of God this morning. Because when we say that prayer is a part of the big five, that doesn't mean that you try to remember God at some point in the day and say, hey, God. But it means that we seek His face. And the Bible says, when you seek me with your whole heart, then you will find me. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. And Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you move, for how you work. And this morning, God, I pray that you would break our hearts. because those 25,500 people may be mostly people that we don't know, but there's probably several in that number that we do know. Oh God, break our hearts. Break our hearts. I pray for those here this morning that don't have a relationship with you, God. And I pray you would move as only you can in their lives this morning, that there would truly be a desire in their life to be saved. And I pray they would take the hand of the people they came with, or if they don't know anybody, that you'd give them the boldness to come to this altar and take the hand of a pastor and to say, I need to be saved. And God, I pray you would move right here at 8 o'clock as only you can, God, that it would unmistakably be your Spirit that's moving us. So God, this morning, humble us so that we may pray with integrity, so that we may seek your face wholeheartedly, and that we will turn from those ways. So Lord, you be glorified. Church, this altar is open. I'm asked us to stand. And I'm going to ask you to come. Let's come together. Let's join our hearts together. You come.